this morning on the main message, we are going to hear in the larger context of the disciple and the community how Jesus deals with the religious crowd. I want to ask you a question. Do you think we live in a religious society? I heard yes, yes and no, yes, yes, I heard it, or I saw it depends. And I think we do live in a religious society. There was a survey done in 2014, and that survey of 30,000 adults found out that 89% of them said that they believe in God. Now, when that survey got a little bit deeper, it found out that actually only 63% of them were absolutely certain that God exists. Only 55% of them actually pray daily. Only about 53% of them said that religion is important. And only 50% of them said they attend a church service at least once a month. Religion comes from Latin, and there is a little bit of a debate whether it comes from the word that was used to mean reverence for God or gods in ancient society, a word that means carefully thinking about divine things, or the way Saint Augustine used it with the word, with the prefix re or re legare, to bind, to connect, or to reconnect, meaning the reconnection between human being, fallen human being, and God Almighty. In a more understanding, more modern understanding, the word religion actually means a set of norms, traditions, rules, rituals, doctrines, a set of things. If you want a set of boxes that need to be checked, and once it's checked, you feel yourself at ease saying, I am a religious person. I have solved the problem on the vertical dimension with the divine power. Paul tells young Timothy that in the last day there will be people, in 2 Timothy 3, says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. In other translation, it says, they will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And the advice Paul gives to Timothy is, you must stay away from people like that. So, on one hand, we have religion, the practice of attending church, maybe without genuine faith in the living God, abiding by a set of rules, practices, but neglecting the true God. On the other hand, there are people who seek a relationship with true living God. And by the way, the Bible never uses the word religion. However, on every single page, every single paragraph, every single word of the Bible, we feel this present, and that is that God is interested in having a relationship with his people, with us. It started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, before the fall, were walking, the word of God said, were walking with God in the cool of the day, having a perfect relationship with God. It continued with the warnings that God gave to his people, Israel, saying through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13 says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules they have been taught. In order to make the relationship, not the religion, with God possible, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, came on this earth to live a perfect life, to die as an atoning sacrifice, rose from the dead, and now is in glory, interceding on our behalf with God the Father. And Paul writes to our brothers and sisters in Ephesus, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 14, "For he himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made the two, you, I, us, and God, made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." That's why Jesus Christ came on this earth. So, to the dry, lifeless religion is a life-transforming destiny, if you want, changing relationship. It's a definite commitment to the crucified and risen Savior, which means an ongoing relationship between a forgiven sinner and a gracious, loving, and yet holy God. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees were by excellence a religious group. They accepted Torah and equally all the writings that were done based on Torah. Talk about set of rules. Okay? They emphasized moral teaching rather than the theological teaching. And Jesus says to this group in Matthew 23, verse 23, has some strong words. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." So, what does Jesus have to say to such a religious group? What does Jesus have to say to the religious people of our day? First of all, in the Gospel of Matthew, the text that is going to be read in Romanian as well today, chapter 23, from verse 1 to 12, we see three things that Jesus has for the religious crowd of his days. First of all, Jesus denounces the religious crowd. Jesus denounces. He points them out for what they are. Look at this. "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do. For they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them.'" They are, Jesus says, by unmasking them, unveiling them, he says, they are show-offs. They want to feel good about themselves. And by the way, that's what religion does to you. It makes you good, feel good. You check, 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 and now you can go about doing your things because you checked all the boxes. And Jesus unmasks them, denounces them. By the way, President Lincoln had a really good quote that's attributed to him. He says, "You can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time." Okay? And if that's true about us, okay, we'll learn from mistakes. Yeah, it happened once. Okay? How much true this is about God? And the Word of God says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Think about this next time you are about to do something you know it's wrong and you think you can get by because no one is around to see you. God is there to see you, and he is willing to denounce and to point out and to unveil that. The second thing that Jesus does to the religious crowd is he confronts them. He confronts them. Look in verse 13. It says, now Jesus addresses to them. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in man's face. Jesus, whose word is yes and amen, has the courage to call things how they are. There is no gray zone with Jesus. We can beat around the bushes when it comes to confronting people, but not Jesus. He calls them hypocrites 12 times in Matthew, 6 times only in this chapter 23, hypocrites. And there are some other really strong words that Jesus uses when he talks about the Pharisees. They are confusing, they are deceiving, they are irresponsible ultimately. And what's our lesson? We should confront people, telling the truth in love. We should not get mad when we are confronted. You know why? Not because we like it, but because the treatment cannot start until the right diagnosis is put. So when you hear something that you don't like because it's pointed to you by someone who is godly and wants your own good, maybe your parents, maybe your youth pastor, don't be defensive. Think, accept it, and begin the treatment. And the third thing Jesus does is he calls them to repentance. Actually, this is a universal call, not only to the religious, but to the sinner. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we know the verse. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." Repentance is God's grace casting a shadow on us. It's the act on our part that restores the relationship with God. He made it possible through Jesus Christ. A system of practices and rituals is not enough. Checking the boxes of prescribed rituals and daily routines, spiritual as they might be, is not enough. Only a vital relationship with God through faith in Jesus and continuous repentance will do. So I want to ask you this question. Do you have a religion or a relationship? Religion treats God as a spare tire. When you have a flat, it's there. Religion treats God as a fire department. There is a fire, they are there. Religion treats God as a police department. You are in danger, he protects you. A religion can be transmitted, can be inherited. A relationship is personal. It requires continuous effort and intention. Think of a person you like to speak with, to be with, to really spend time with and be with. How do you feel if one day passes and you make no contact? That is, at a smaller scale, what a relationship with God is. We need to spend time with him. We need to speak with him. Seek his will, not because we need to check a box, fulfill a duty, but because we love him, and we love him because he, in his grace and mercy, first loved us. I pray that God will make every single one of us a disciple, not a religious person, but a disciple who has a genuine relationship with his master. May God help every single one of us be that way. Amen.